singing this morning. And you know, we have so many different people that serve in different areas in the ministry, and sometimes they don't get noticed. And I do want to thank the men for doing the offering. Wasn't that good to see Logan and Arlo? And Arlo's been ushering here for so long. And Morgan, I'm sorry, Morgan. He knows I mess up names, but I don't do it on purpose, so I apologize. But it's good to see him. They're serving the Lord. And he keeps the sound booth going there for us sometimes. And he got me recorded last week, and thank you for that. And his brother Trinity's up there doing that today, and along with Paul. So, you know, thank you, everybody. Without you, we wouldn't have Faith Baptist Church, and we wouldn't be able to help people. So what a blessing that is. Well, today I'm going to bring us into Daniel chapter 6, if you want to turn in God's Word with me. And I'm going to try to get this whole message done in the time that we have, and I actually have most of the normal service time today, and so maybe I can do it. But it's an exciting message that I like to give. And it's, how many of you ever heard of Daniel and the Lion's Den? Anybody heard that story? We're going to cover Daniel and the Lion's Den now. Don't anybody go say, oh, I've heard that one. I'm going to turn my ear off and I'm going to catch some sleep. Because we got a lot of things here to cover that aren't covered in your typical Sunday school lesson of Daniel and the Lion's Den. And so I'm hoping that you know the story of Daniel and the Lion's Den, because I'm not going to cover all of those details that you might get in your Sunday school story. We're going to talk about some more important things for those of you as you grow older. And so, you know, the title of the message, if you're keeping track of that, is Too Tough to Chew. It's Too Tough to Chew. And I've preached this at another time, but I don't remember ever preaching it here on Sunday morning. And I have the notes here that, and I've added to them, of course, as I restudied it. But it's an exciting passage. And so I want you, now I'm going to ask you a question, and I'll answer it at the end of the service. And if I forget, remind me. Okay, but here's the question. Why couldn't the lions eat Daniel? Okay? Why couldn't the lions eat Daniel? And so I've got a kind of a neat little answer for that here at the end. Of course, the Bible answers that. But I just want you to remember that through the lesson today. But anyway, Daniel chapter 6. Let's just read a few verses here, verses down through verse 5 or 6 here. It says, and it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three, and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Well, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. And then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Very interesting, isn't it? Now, as we study the Word of God, I want you to know that the Word of God is real. It is the actual Word of God. He has preserved that down through the generations. And I know a lot of people say, well, we don't have the Word of God. Yes, we do. And it is God's preserved it for us. And if we want to know what God has to say and how to live our lives and how to be blessed, we'll follow His Word. Now, God's Word is here to tell us about who God is and who we are, how we can have a relationship with God and what God expects from us. Have you ever heard someone say, I wonder where we came from? Well, the Bible tells us. I wonder what my purpose in life is. A lot of people ask that one. The Bible tells us. And so here we see many things in God's Word. We're going to learn some character traits today from Daniel that we can apply to our lives. But I want you to notice something else. The Bible has history in it. The Bible has science in it. The Bible has all kinds of different things in it. And in where the Bible contains history, it's accurate. And now you wouldn't say the Bible is necessarily a history book unless you want to say it's a book of His story. You know, God's story, Christ's story. And so that way it is a history book. But bringing up historical facts, there aren't necessarily a whole lot of them in here. It's not conclusive to all the history of mankind. But when it is recorded, it is of utmost accuracy. That tells me that the Bible is true. I brought that up because during this time where Daniel is thrown to the lions, remember, Daniel in the lion's den, what was going on in the world at this time? If you were to study it in your school books on history, what would the history books in school be talking about at this time? In your books in school, have you ever heard about Daniel in the lion's den? How many of you ever heard of Cyrus the Great? How many of you ever heard of Darius the Mede? Okay, we hear of those people because you see, at the time that Daniel was taken into captivity, he was taken into captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I'm sure that you should have heard of King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar was one of the most powerful kings in all the world at that time. He gained control of most of the, you know, known world there. And so he was very powerful. Now, if you stop and see that in the history books, you see that. If you read God's Word here, you'll read the same thing, only with a few more details. And so we see here how King Nebuchadnezzar had taken over Israel. He had taken captives out of Israel, and Daniel happened to be one of those people that was taken captive. He was taken back to Babylon, and he was forced there to serve the king, and he did a very good job of it. Over the years, he was loyal, he was faithful. He had three friends. Anybody remember the three friends that Daniel had? Shadrach, ever heard of them? Meshach, and Abednego. Now, if I was really going to give a prize away, and I don't have one up here, but if I was, I would ask you what were their Jewish names. Could you tell me those? Oh, now I see people burning their brains out of this. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Now, by the way, if you were taken captivity into another land, and by the way, the Jewish names had meaning, and they took and gave you a name that meant exactly the opposite of your name, how would you like that? You know, if your name here meant, you know, chosen of God, and they gave you a name that meant chosen of a false god, how many of you would like to be called that? How many of you would like to be called child of Dagon or something like that? You wouldn't like that. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were their names they were given, but I think they would rather have been called Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael because they meant they had godly purposes to their name. But anyway, so we see these men. Here's four men. But Daniel, he always seems to be the leader of the group. Why was that? Because he was putting God first. Well, here, Daniel had served under Nebuchadnezzar, and he had served then, and he was serving under his grandson, Belshazzar. And now he was a king, and he had seen his father, Nebuchadnezzar, go through the humiliating time where he said that he was so powerful, and he took the credit instead of giving it to God. And remember how God humbled him, and he wrote in chapter 4 or 5 there that he gave all honor and glory to God. And he wanted the world to know that. The king did, King Nebuchadnezzar. That's in history. And you can find back, the Bible records it better than we have in historical accounts. But you can go back and find these. And so Nebuchadnezzar gives honor and praise and glory to God. So his grandson, what do you think he'll do? Don't the grandkids always do what their grandparents do? They have a godly grandfather, so the grandkids are going to follow God too, right? Well, I would hope so. I mean, wouldn't you think that your grandfather, through experience, should have known who to follow? And so if you have a godly grandfather, praise the Lord. But don't quit serving God. You have to make that choice too. And so here we see Belshazzar. You know what Belshazzar says? I think I'm going to go ahead and worship me. I'm king. I've got this great empire. What do I need God for? And so remember, he was drinking and having a party, and he took the vessels out of God's house. He took the things that were to be used in the sacrifices in the temple, and he started drinking wine out of them. Remember? And then the handwriting on the wall. And the Bible says that Daniel interpreted that dream for him. But that night, through a spectacular feat of military maneuvering and strategy, Cyrus and Darius the Mede took over the city of Babylon that night. How in the world did they do that? It's very interesting, but if you go into history, you have to go to history to find this one. But here the Bible is very clear that this happened. And for a while there, they've questioned the Bible because they said, well, here it talks about Darius the Mede taking over. And no, it was Cyrus, according to history. Well, stop and wait a minute. Cyrus was the commander of the army, and what they did is they diverted the river. The river ran through Babylon. And they had the walls around the city so that it would be fortified and that no one could get in. They had a tremendous water supply. You couldn't take the city. That's why Belshazzar was partying it up, even though he knew there was an army trying to take over. He didn't care. He didn't feel that threatened. But the military tactic they used was they diverted the river. They changed the flow of the river so it flowed around the city of Babylon, which left an opening in the riverbed for them to come in into the city underneath the bars of the city and come in and take the city that night while they were drunk and partying and were not even afraid of being taken at that time. So here we see, it says, In that night, verse 30 of chapter 5, it says, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So he's about 62. So now you have the time frame that history can use, and that's somewhere probably around 539 B.C., if you want to keep it in with history time. And so at this time, we see Darius the Mede ruling the kingdom. But they say, well, wasn't the Persians? Wasn't it Cyrus? Cyrus is a Persian. Well, they had an alliance, and now that they find and they look back, you know, and behold, the Bible is true. For a while there in the kingdom, the Median kingdom was the stronger, and the Persians, and they were allied together, so it was the Medes and the Persians. You'll see that here in this chapter. If you continue to study through the Bible as the history progresses, you'll see that the Persian Empire then became stronger, and they became the lead. And when you read the book of Esther, you'll see that it says the Persians and the Medes. And so God's Word has been right all along. You know why it's right? Because it's God's Word, and what it records of history is accurate. And so we see that. So now in chapter 6, and I just did that so you knew that the Bible is true, okay? Just for those skeptics who said, you know, the Bible can't be trusted. When history is wrong or contradicts the Bible, it's wrong. And they'll find out that the Bible is right. And they have in this case. So in chapter 6, we saw here that here we have a new king. What's his name again? Darius the Mede. Okay, remember that because he's a Mede. And so here he is in the kingdom. Now, how would you like to take over a whole kingdom that's huge? I mean, this is, yeah, there's some people that want to. But, you know, you got some problems. How do you know how everything's run? Right? How do you keep things going smoothly? How do you keep it from having a big economic crash? How do you keep the people that you've taken control of operating smoothly and under your control? You don't want chaos. You don't want a financial disaster. You want things to move along smoothly and have a nice transition as you become ruler. And so therefore all the benefits the king before had, you would receive. So here we have Darius the Mede. He says, let's see. I want you to go and I want you to check out, he says to his men, and find me men who know what's going on. I want you to find me some men that would be loyal to me, that I can trust, that have been trustworthy in the past, that can be leaders here for the kingdom for me now. He said, in other words, I want you to go check their cell phones, and I want you to read their texts to see if they've been honest to the king. And I want you to go check Facebook. And I want you... Well, they didn't have Facebook and text, did they? Okay. But one thing that the Medes did, or that the Babylonians did have in the Medes, is they had good records. They kept record of everything. And so what they could do is they went back and they checked the records and they had the clay, I can't think what they call them, starts with a Z, coniforms, whatever. But anyway, they had all the inscriptions on there. And they went back and they checked. And guess whose name started showing up as being one of the king's best men during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar and then his successors? There's this guy named Daniel keeps popping up. Daniel. He did right here. Daniel was faithful over here. Daniel interpreted this dream. Daniel was always there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But Daniel. You say, like you said that already. I know, but every time they looked, that's what they saw. So you know what Darius said? He said, you know what? I need this man. He served many kings. He's been faithful. He never stabs anybody in the back. He never tries to take power. He's always been promoted. He didn't lift himself up. This is the guy I need. And so he says, I'm going to get him. And the Bible says here that he got how many people? He found 120 princes. And the Bible here is showing that there was 120 provinces that he was a ruler over now. During the time of Esther, I think it goes up to 126 or 127. I wrote that in the margin here. 120, 127 or 129. I forget what it is. But anyway, 120 provinces. So he got one person to lead each province. They would come back. He had three presidents staying there close to him. They would report to those three presidents what's going on. And then those three presidents had to have a leader, right? And guess who got to be the leader? Daniel. And then Daniel would report to him. So, you know what? If you were Daniel, how would you like that job? You've served these other kings and now you have to serve this king. Would you do a good job? Daniel said, you know, I'm going to do this job with everything I've got. And so, by the way, how old is Daniel getting? He's getting to be an old man. You realize that when he was thrown in the lion's den, he was no spring chicken? I mean, I don't know how else to word it. He was an old man as we would consider it. And so he's serving faithfully. How many of you would, at your in your older age, want to rule a whole kingdom, be responsible? He's not ruling, he's responsible. You know, that's kind of in between the rock and the hard spot. Everybody complains to you and the king complains to you, so you're supposed to take care of everything. And so Daniel's in that spot. Everything falls on his shoulders. And he's doing this job. And guess what the other people in the kingdom start doing? Well, I know what Darius said. He said, you know what? I've been watching him. And I think I'm going to make him in charge of everything. Because you know what? There's an excellent spirit in him. What's an excellent spirit? Well, have you ever seen a child? And I know you kids would never do this. But let's say this child was playing his video games or something like that. And or he's having a good time playing in the yard. And mom or dad comes out and says, I have some chores for you to do. And you know how all kids are. They go, yes, I wanted to quit playing this video game and do something so bad. And, they don't do that? Okay, so they're going like, I'm busy. And go like, busy doing what? I'm busy. Because you don't want to say what you're busy doing because they won't really think you're busy, right? And so they're going to give you this job to do. So they say, and I want you to do it now. Now they have to throw that in there, right? Because otherwise we put it off as long as possible. So my parents know this ahead of time. They say, I want you to come out and do this chore right now. And so you go out there and go like, I don't like doing this. It's hot out here. I hate this job. This job is a stinky job. How much? It's hot out here. Can I do it later? Or, do I have to do the whole thing? And what do they just about have to do sometimes? Sometimes they have to make you do the whole job. Now, I want you to tell me, do you think that's an excellent spirit or a bad spirit? Okay, so you guys already understand what a spirit, what a good spirit is and an excellent spirit and a bad spirit is. Even though all of you children would be going like, Mom, I'm so happy to do that. Or Dad, thank you for asking me to do that. And I have finished now. Is there anything else you would like me to do? Okay, is it all right if I go back then and do the video game? I just know that you guys would do that because that would be the right spirit to have, right? And so as we look along here, it says here that, you know, Daniel was preferred above the princes and the presidents because an excellent spirit was in him. Now, what is an excellent spirit? Well, we already saw that. He had this excellent spirit because his spirit was in tune with God's spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And I want you to know that your spirit inside of you is that part of you that does relate with God, that does make your choices, that does determine your attitude. Now, we all have a mind, right? Some of us have more of a mind than others. But what does your mind do? Your mind contains all the knowledge you have. You know, all that stuff you're learning in school, kids. You know, you have it all up here, right? You're straight A students and you just gather more knowledge. Well, maybe school is hard, right? It's hard to gather knowledge and keep it up here. Your mind gets the knowledge. It helps you tell what's going on around you. It interacts with, you know, your happenings. And then it can process those things and you can make decisions. But your spirit is the part of you that says, I'm going to do what I want to do. And it determines what that is. And it determines whether you're going to do what God wants you to do or not. And so before you're saved, we're spiritually dead. We don't have a relationship with God. But after we're saved, the Holy Spirit wants to bear witness with our spirit. He wants to direct us and to help us to live for Him. And you know what? Daniel loved God. Could we see that already in history and what he's done? And so because he loved God, he was honest. He had integrity. And so we're going to look at some things here and go along here. The first thing I want you to notice is that Daniel's excellent spirit gave him an integrity. And integrity today is a rare commodity. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but you can't depend on a lot of people. It's getting harder and harder to find someone that you can depend on. And I am challenging, this is really a message that is so pertinent today because on the news, I have seen a lot of things where people are lacking integrity right now. People aren't standing up for what is right. They're standing up for what's easiest. And I can see that all around, and I'm sure that you can automatically apply this to the times. But integrity is, in America, is a rare commodity. It used to be very popular. But as I was looking here, you know, it's hard for us to live in a corrupt society and have integrity. But Daniel did. Was Daniel's society what you would call a godly society or a corrupt society? It was a corrupt society, but he still served God, and we can too. He had integrity to do what's right, even if no one else did. By the way, did the other rulers that he was ruling with have integrity? Did they do what was right even if it was hard? Integrity is doing what is right, what you know you should do, even when it's hard to do so. Yes, Daniel was, but they were not. And you'll see how angry they get with him for having integrity. But I want to take you to some passages in the Scripture, like in the Proverbs chapter 3. If you can turn there real quick, it's easy to find. But Proverbs chapter 3. And I want to show you what God has to say about integrity. He says, with integrity comes two things. It's called mercy and truth. Daniel had mercy, and he had truth in his life. He followed that which was right. He followed the Lord. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3, it says this. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. It says, bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. In other words, if you forget about being merciful and being truthful, by the way, do you tell the truth? Because this is something that's easy to understand. Do you have enough integrity to tell the truth all the time, even if you get in trouble for it? Because that's what God wants you to do. He says, don't forget. And that if you bind it about thy neck. In other words, write a note and put it on a string around your neck. Tell the truth. So you could go like, what were you doing, son? I was... Tell the truth. Do I have to? Tell the truth. Okay, I was goofing off instead of doing what you asked me to do. I'm sorry. Okay, I go out there and do the job. But you know what? What would we have a tendency to say? Well, you know, and we give 100 excuses, right? Is that telling the truth? So what God says, if you have to make a note and hang it about your neck, do it. But remember these two things, mercy and truth. And it says in verse 4, it says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. You want God to be pleased with you? Then don't forget about mercy and truth. Did Daniel have mercy and truth? Think about it. Was he honest? Even at the cost of his own life? Yes, he was. Was he merciful to other people? Was he kind and caring about them? Yes, he was. And because of it, the Bible says he found favor with God. But we also find out that he finds favor with man too. Matter of fact, if you were to turn over to Proverbs chapter 17 and we see verse 27 here, it talks a little bit more advanced to a person that's a little more mature. It says here, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. So it's saying here that he had learned to have an excellent spirit and to not always open his mouth. Now, how many of us always have an excuse for ourselves? But maybe God just wants us to just hold off. Sometimes when you see something else that maybe you think should be going differently, do we tell everybody all the time? Or are we just hold back? Did you notice how Daniel waited until he was asked by the authority and then he said something? When they were looking for someone to interpret the dream, he went and volunteered his services, said that God could interpret it, but he didn't push his way around. And you know what? He showed honor and respect, and this man had integrity. So, how many of you want to be like Daniel? Have integrity and tell the truth. I hope you do, because you know what? The Bible says that you're going to go a long ways. That will make you in favor with God and in favor with man. So, did it happen for Daniel? Did God favor him? Did this king favor him? He said, yeah, he's going to make him ruler of the whole kingdom because he's got integrity. He said, I can't find anybody else like him. This man is awesome. Where did they come up with him? Now, if he would have asked Daniel, why are you like this? What would Daniel have said? I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I want to do what God wants me to do. That's why I do right. And Daniel would have said it because he did every time they asked him. And you know what? How many of you here today could say, you know what? I want to please God. I want to be what He wants me to be. And you could raise your hand. Don't raise your hand, but you could raise your hand and say, yeah, I want to. So then you're going to have integrity. And you're going to be someone that is highly valued. It goes on there here. It says he had a heart that overcame the flesh's desire for the world. Matter of fact, in 1 John chapter 2. Now that's harder to find, but it's right at the end of the New Testament. And I'm going to read that to you because I think it's important. 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to start here in verse 15. God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now I'm going to ask you this. Did Daniel love the world? Did he put that, in other words, did he put that as a priority in his life? Did he say, I want to get rich? Could Daniel have been rich? You know what, I think he probably was. I really think he was. But how did he go about getting it? He was more concerned about integrity and pleasing God, and God gave it to him. But many people are out after those riches. It says, so love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I want to ask you this, teenagers, young people, all the way down, adults, who would you honestly say you love more, God or the things of this world? Here's the challenge. God says it this way. He says, for all that is in the world, it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. How many kings has Daniel been there for? Numerous. And one of the things that really strikes me about Daniel's life is, here he's an old man, he's still serving faithfully, he's got integrity, and he's got backbone. And you know what? Usually when one king took over a kingdom, he would get rid of all of those people. But here, his integrity is so strong that the other kings desired to use him. And after they watch him for a little while and they see the spirit that's in him, they would say, Daniel, I was wondering if you... I command you to take care of this. Daniel says right away, oh, king, I know you're new king, and I just wanted to let you know about this problem over here, and here's how it's been taken care of in the past. How would you like me to deal with that one too? Because if we don't got that, that's going to be a future problem. Do you think the king would appreciate that? They did. And Daniel covered. Daniel was respectful. And so Daniel had, what's the big word? Integrity. He had, because he had an excellent spirit. Now here's a second one. He had a flawless record. Now what's your record? If someone was to go check your Facebook, if someone was to go back and check all your emails, if someone was to check all your texts, and they had free rein to it, would you be embarrassed by anything they might read? If they were to put it on the public news, everything that you have in your texts, emails, and whatnot, and in your private life, would you be nervous? But Daniel, when they went and checked his life out, they found out they couldn't find anything that he'd done wrong. You know, in his position, would it have been easy for him to go ahead and have someone slip him something and do them a favor for it? You know what? He said, I'm in charge of the public works. And if you'll give me this, I'll go ahead and have them send over a crew and they'll go ahead and fix your driveway for you, you know, at no charge. All you do is slip me some money. Could Daniel have done that? But did he? Would that be the right thing to do? Daniel said, no, I'm going to do what's right. And he said, I'm going to have integrity. And he says, and I'm going to keep my record for the Lord clear. And a matter of fact, it says here, when the other presidents and princes saw his life and they were envious, they were going to say, you know what? We're going to go into his Facebook and we're going to find something he did wrong or said wrong, and we're going to take that to the king and we're going to get him fired. And then we can have his job. So they got in there and they're going through. Did they have, now let me tell you, they didn't have email and text, but I'm trying to make it on the level of today. All the records they had, they were going through it, reading newspaper articles, whatever they could find. They couldn't find anything that Daniel had done that was dishonest. Was that because Daniel had erased all the records or run them through the shredder? No. They could go back and look at his service to his country and it was impeccable. It wasn't even his country. And so we see, they couldn't find anything. So they said this, you know what, this is a waste of time. Have you noticed that everything he does has integrity and we can't find anything wrong in his life to tell the king and get him fired? We're going to have to make something up. And the king's not going to believe it, so we're going to have to make up something for him to break the law at. He hasn't broken in anything. We're going to have to make a law he can't keep. Now, how do you make a law somebody can't keep and get the king to pass it? He said, well, we need to make a law that he can't keep. And in other words, about the only thing that he does that's above the law is his honor and worship of God. God's going to come first in his life even if a law says it shouldn't. Because remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were told to bow and they wouldn't bow to anybody but God, and they threw them in the fiery furnace. So God protected them. And this Daniel, he's the same way. So we got to make a law that's going to get him in trouble. So they went to the king and they said, king, We have a law that we think is just great. And all of the presidents and everyone in the kingdom agrees. Did all of the presidents agree, by the way? Did they talk to Daniel? You know, that should have made the king a little bit suspicious when Daniel wasn't there, because wasn't he the one that was supposed to come and talk to the king about these things? But they came and they acted like Daniel was in on it. Everybody was in on it. And they said, here's what we want to do. Since you're the new king, we honor you. You are such a good king. You're the greatest king ever. And they started laying it on thick, you know. They started praising him and they said, you know what? We should make a law that nobody can worship any god or anybody else for 30 days, just you. And now what does the king think? Hey, that sounds pretty good. Everybody worships me. Now, wouldn't most people like that? He says, okay, I can't see anything wrong with that. It's a deal. Let me sign it. He signs the deal, and it says he signed it by the law of the Medes and Persians, which can't be changed. He can't change it. Once he signed it, it became law. He can't even change it. So, guess what the guys are doing? Daniel's in trouble because he always prays to God, and now he can't. So now I want to ask you, what would you do if you were Daniel? The Bible says Daniel saw that the law was passed. He can't worship God for 30 days. What did Daniel do every day according to the Bible? The Bible says he prayed 3 times a day and spent time with God. Matter of fact, it says he prayed out a specific window towards Jerusalem, just like God had told him to do, for the deliverance of his people. So when Daniel saw it, what would you do? Now here's what a lot of Christians would do. From talking with them and even thinking about it myself, a lot of times we would do this. Well, God doesn't care whether I pray in front of an open window or not, as long as I pray to Him, right? God will hear me wherever I pray. And so therefore, since this law is in effect, no use making waves, no use causing trouble, I'll just go ahead and close my window and pray in my closet this month. But you know what? Daniel knew that would be what? That would be compromising. He always prayed at the window, and he needed to do so still. It was a matter of, what do we call it? Integrity. And Daniel says he prayed 3 times a day, as he always had. When the pressure comes into your life, are you going to change the way you worship God because it's not popular, or are you going to continue on and take a stand? Daniel went ahead, got on his knees, and he prayed. Now, what do you think these guys were doing? Where do you think they were at the time of prayer? They were all outside the window. There he is. I knew he would do it. He always did. He's just loves his God so much that he's going to go and he's going to pray even if it costs him his life. We've got him. Now he's out and we're in. So they go up to the king and they go, oh, king, guess what? I mean, king, live forever. We have something very serious to tell you. What's the deal? There's someone in your kingdom that's breaking your law. What? Yes, terrible, isn't it, king? Someone is not worshiping you. He's standing outside his window and he's praying 3 times a day to the God of heaven. You know what? They didn't even have to say who he is, did they? The king goes like, oh! He said, I have been so prideful and arrogant in this that I didn't even think ahead to think that Daniel's going to worship his God. That's why I admire him. He's got integrity. And now I've made this silly law because I was prideful. And now I got to get him off. Because now I'm supposed to throw him to the lions. And they're going like, hey, king, don't you back out. But it was a dumb law. I wasn't thinking about Daniel. It doesn't matter, king. You have to throw him in the lion's den. He said, well, I have the rest of the day. And so he got all the lawyers together. He got all the people together. He spent all day long. He didn't do anything. He didn't eat. He didn't stop to take a break. He said, we've got to find a way to get Daniel off the hook. I didn't want this to happen to Daniel. He's my right-hand man. These guys over here tricked me. And in my pride, I went ahead and did it. He says, but I can't send him to the lion's den. Guess what? Evening time came. He still couldn't find a legal way to get it out because that's a law of the Medes and Persians. It can't be changed. And so the men came back to the king and said, okay, you made a law. He has to go in the lion's den tonight. Do you think the king was happy? They took him over there. They roll a stone back from that lion's den. When you look down in there, what do you see? Nothing but teeth. It's a common thing. Matter of fact, I guess they had lions that they still fed back in the regime of Saddam Hussein and his sons. That's the thing there they do to terrify people. They open it up. These lions haven't been fed. They're jumping up to get them. And they're going like, Daniel, I made a foolish law. You're a man of integrity, and I'm proud of what you did. I'm going to have to put you in. But certainly your God's strong enough to protect you. But you know what? He had a doubt in his mind because he didn't know Daniel's God very well. He didn't know him personally. He's kind of saying like, he will take care of you, right, Daniel? I messed up. I'm going to kill you if your God doesn't take care of you. And they put him in there, and they put the stone back on, and they seal it, and everybody puts their mark in there. All the presidents, those guys who framed him and the king. Daniel has to stay in there all night long with the lions. How many of you would like to be there? So, the king goes all night. The Bible talks about how he fasted. But you know what? First of all, here we see some things I just want to review. We saw how Daniel had integrity. He had a flawless record. And he had a commitment to God that wouldn't change. Now he's in the lion's den. And what's going to happen? And so the king went all night without eating. And he was fasting. And in the morning, it says he went to haste to the lion's den. In verse 20, it says, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. Now, what's a lamentable voice? Sorrowful kind of... how would I say it? Kind of a weak voice, a feeble voice, like, Daniel? Daniel, are you okay? Like, he knows he's eaten up. Everybody that had ever been in there before got eaten up. But Daniel's a special person. He's never met anybody like him. He's a man of integrity and loves his God. And he's special. Maybe if anybody ever is going to come out of that lion's den, it's going to be this godly man. So Daniel... And what's he say? Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually. Did you see that word there, continually? He used that when he put him in and he took him out. He says, you serve God all the time, not just on the weekends. A lot of people serve God on the weekend and forget about Him all week long. He said, this is different about you, Daniel. You serve God all the time. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're there with God. And he says, is he able to deliver you from the lions? So what did Daniel say? Yeah, but no thanks to you. No, he didn't say that, did he? Why? Because he's a godly man and a man of integrity and he loves the king even if he does him wrong. And he says this to the king. He said, O king, live forever. That's respect. He respects God and he respects his king. He knew the king had made a foolish, prideful law. He knew that he'd thrown him in the lion's den, but you know what? He shows him respect anyway. And he says, I'm here. O king, live forever. I'm showing you respect. And then he says this, I am such a tough man. I know kung fu, karate, taekwondo, chop up a lion, and whatever. And I put all these lions in their place. I'm a lion whisperer. I put them all to sleep. No, he says, my God has sent an angel, and he has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. For as much before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. He says, king, I've not done anything against you. I've done nothing against my God. I stayed true to my God, and my God protected me. Now, who are you counting on for your protection when you're about to lie? You're going to have integrity and be truthful with your God and count on Him then to deliver you? Or are you going to go ahead and lie and count on yourself to deliver you? And by the way, my parents always told me, and it is so true, it takes 100 lies to cover one. And then you got to come up with another 100 for each one of those. It's much better to just tell the truth, have integrity. And so here the fourth thing is that he earned an implacable testimony. Because what do you think the king thinks of Daniel and his God now? He's impressed. But then Daniel came out of the hole. Did Daniel do this? Did Daniel come out and say, okay, now that I'm out, king, am I still in charge? Yep. Okay. Throw the other guys in. What was Daniel? He says, king, live forever. I want you to know that my God, if you serve Him, will take care of you. He just had a testimony. He didn't want anything done to the other men, but you know what the king said? Get the other men. You know, all those guys with the seal right there, their name's still in the seal. Have them come over here. Now, when I have a feeling they were probably there, but they probably were trying to get out of there. When they saw Daniel come up out of there, they were going like, oh no, this didn't work. But he said, go get them and their families, and you bring them here. And now they're all standing in front of that lion's den. They all know where they're going. Did Daniel want them there? Did Daniel say throw them in? I just want you to know that God takes care of His own, and He takes care of the vengeance. Daniel didn't get a vengeful spirit. That would have took him out of a relationship with God. He left it up to God to take care of. And you know, the Bible says that they threw those people in. Now, who did that? Darius the Mede. He threw them in. Now, were those lions hungry? Some people say, oh, the reason they didn't eat Daniel is because they weren't hungry. Well, I have to say, from the time they poked Daniel out till they took the next ones in, they got hungry. The Bible said that they were so hungry that not one of those people touched the bottom of that pit without every bone being broken in their body. The lion tore them up so bad that they didn't even hit the bottom. That's pretty serious. Those lions were hungry. You say, like, wow, where do you come up with that fact? It's right here in the Bible. But now I want you to show you the last thing in conclusion. God delivered him. The deliverance was miraculous. The vengeance was left up to God, and now Daniel's testimony brings great honor and glory to God. And verse 25 says, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell, he says, that dwell in all the earth. He says, peace be multiplied unto you. He said, now I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men shall tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom is one that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He says, I have learned that Daniel's God is real. If Daniel had closed his closet window and went and hid somewhere and prayed, would the king and the nation and all those people ever learn that God is real? So I want you to understand that it takes a lot of integrity to live a life for God and not compromise. And by the way, when Daniel did that, everybody else, probably every other Christian, probably thought he was crazy. But you know what? The only way that God could get the honor and glory was for men like Daniel to show integrity. And the only way that people are going to see that God is real today is for us to have integrity and to do what is right. Now, how old do you have to be a man or a lady of integrity? Do you suppose that someone here that is 4 or 5 could tell the truth because God wants them to? How many of you here are over 5? Then I think everybody's hand would go up. Would it be possible for you to have enough integrity to always tell the truth? Would it be possible for you to carry mercy and truth? Isn't that what God says brings you in favor with Him? Mercy and truth. Have you received Christ as your Savior and been honest with Him in that and admitting that you need a Savior? Admitting that you need to be forgiven of your sins and receive Jesus Christ, that's the first step. And then have you given your life over to the Lord to live for Him? Daniel did. Daniel's testimony was impeccable. And I want you to notice this here in the last verse. It says, He delivereth and rescueth, and He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. I just want you to know that godliness is not measured by your talents, but by your attitude. Do you know what? Daniel became famous because he had integrity and an attitude to serve God. Remember, the king was going to make him in charge because he had an excellent spirit. That means he had a good attitude. Do you have a good attitude? And then secondly, God then equipped him to do the job he had. So many of us, the devil tells, can't do anything for God because we're not talented enough. But all of us can have integrity. And so, in conclusion, verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of what? Cyrus the Persian. So history is fulfilled here. Isn't that how it worked? It started with Darius and then Cyrus the Persian became the ruler. Just like we see in history now. History has come around to see this. And God's word has been true all along. And I just want you to know that Daniel prospered. Why did he prosper? Because God saw to it that he would prosper. Did he go through some hard times getting there? Very extreme circumstances, but he had integrity. And so here we know that the Bible says that Daniel wasn't eaten by the lions because God was with him. But I just wanted to think on this. Why couldn't the lions eat Daniel? Because he was all backbone. He was all backbone. He had integrity. We need people. God is looking for people with integrity. He's looking for young men. You know what? It's the teenagers that are going to make a difference in this world. It's going to be you guys that do make the difference. And the challenge is up to you. And I can look at you and say, are you going to be there? Are you going to have that integrity that your grandfathers had and your grandparents had to maintain and to fight in America for that integrity? Because it's going to go against the flow to do so. You know, all of us here need to have that integrity. But we need to support these young people who are going to face the fight. Because I tell you what, things are not going in the proper direction, and it's going to take integrity to turn it around. And so I challenge you today, is Jesus Christ first and foremost in your life? I pray that it is. Maybe you say today, you know what? I've kind of let things slip in my life, and I've been more concerned about the things of this world than what God thinks about what I'm doing. Today, I want to give my life to God. Are you going to be willing to serve Him? Will you sign up for Him and say, God, You're my commander. I'm putting You first. Let's just go ahead and stand and sing hymn number 298. The song is Only Trust Him. If you haven't received Christ as your Savior, will you do so today?